Well, it's a pleasure to welcome Peter Grandich of Peter Grandich and Company. Welcome back, Peter.
Always a pleasure to be with you, Chris.
You know, interesting market action. Just seems like a runaway U.S. equities rally on a weekly basis. We've seen some exceptional momentum. Not a lot of earnings to back it up. Are you still in the more bearish camp?
I actually today noted on my blog for just the second time this year, after taking a small loss earlier in the year, took a personal short position again in the stock market today. I don't think shorting is for everybody, but for me anyway, it's gotten to the point where it's absurd to see not even the slightest of consolidations or corrections, and the euphoria that we hear from people, and I don't mean just the talking heads now on the typical programs where they're always going to be bullish. I mean, Chris, you could toss those guys and gals off the Empire State Building, and they would all say the same thing all the way down. So far, so good. So I don't get too caught up in what they say, but now I see in the public and just about every meeting I have throughout each day with individual investors, business owners, small institutional type people, there's just a feeling that the market can't lose, that the market is the only place to be. I can't go any other place. And it's going to keep going and really have no reason. For a while, that can be a self-fulfilling prophecy. It's kind of like a crap table where suddenly it seemed like the seven's been taken out of the dice. But eventually the seven is called. And I just feel that when it does get called here, it's not going to be just a simple correction. I think it will begin the era of the worst period economically for America in its entire history. So don't ask me the day or the hour, but I think through God's grace, I'll live long enough to see it.
You talk about what sounds like could be the ultimate zenith on the market, and you say a dark time economically. I mean, we certainly saw that following 87, 2000, and 2008. You know, it really scared investors. Each episode, talk to folks today, and they're still worried about the market. Most of them, I mean, not all. I mean, there are some folks who are just permabulls or nice, solid, diversified portfolio, and they stuck to their guns.
Chris, what I see now is this difference than in 87 and 2000, even 2008. First of all, the country is far worse economically. It is far more indebted. It has a series of economic issues, from entitlements to pensions to all infrastructure, all sorts of things that will cost literally trillions of dollars that this country is not in a position to spend or collect. At the same time, I already know that we're in worse off socially and politically. There is such a divergence now and such a dividedness in the country that didn't exist in those previous tops. And so if and when the top does come, there won't be a come together for Christ movement. I think the division will grow worse, and the infighting will be at an extreme. So I don't know when it's going to occur, and I guess the safe way is it certainly shouldn't just happen in one night. There should be an event, so maybe you don't get out at the exact top. But I do think that once we start to see that the crack really has occurred, I think it will become an avalanche. And like I said, from my just discussion I had with my 25-year-old daughter the other day, is that I really don't think in whatever my lifespan is left at age, going to be 62, I think it'll be for the rest of my entire lifespan that things will be far more difficult than at any other time in America's history.
Moving on, Hugo Salinas Price, president of the Mexican Civic Association for Silver, he was recently interviewed on Saturday for his proposal to have a real sound silver pesos in circulation. It's not that far-fetched a concept. We still can find silver coins, dimes, quarters, half dollars in circulation, if you're lucky, in the U.S. Do you think that this might help shore up their country, and could we learn from that?
I think it would help them. I think where we're going to see, and I wouldn't say it's a surprise to some of us, I think it would be a surprise to Main Street, Wall Street, that certainly in the next one, but no longer than 3 to 5 years, China and or Russia will announce some sort of new international currency that's backed partially by metals and maybe even some other hard assets or oil or something of that nature, because they're making all the preparations and doing the things to get ready for an alternative to the U.S. dollar. Yeah, I think it's good for Mexico. I think anywhere history has shown that all paper currencies eventually implode. The United States won't be anything different. It certainly is. It's hard for Americans to understand this. And when you try to sit down with them and explain to them and show them what we really have left as a nation after we pay our living weight cost of simply living all, that we can't physically pay back the debt now that has occurred, let alone meet all the entitlements that people are expecting to collect in Medicare and Social Security. So there is it's not a question of if, there is a very big price to pay somewhere in the future. And as you just said earlier, unfortunately, the people who will pay for the most of it is our children and grandchildren. And let me just break up one other thing I wanted to say before, and it came to mind again. I have used three letters to kind of overall describe when I sit with people now to what I think they need to recognize what's happened in America. And it impacts everything, including the price of metals and everything. And that's SSR. And when I say that, some people think I'm talking about the old Chevy model. I'm not. What's happened in America is secularism, socialism, and relativism, they become the order of the day. More and more of this American society is moving to one or more of those. So those of us who still believe America should be or is in things not like that, whether it was Judeo-Christian ways or others, are having a very difficult time dealing with this change. We see it in the sports world now. We see it in the business world everywhere. And each day we're moving more towards that. And so it's hard for us, those of us who are grounded in more traditional, old-fashioned ways, to understand that this is unfolding in a way. But it's really not, because if we look to Europe, particularly a place like Great Britain, they're kind of where we were 20 or 30 years ago on that path. And we now know and we see what they and France and all are facing because of that. So I think history does repeat itself, and we as Americans, although Wall Street doesn't make money doing this, we could learn a lot by looking what happened in Europe over the last 20 or 30 years and recognize that it's unfolding now here in America.
So we could take our cue from our neighbors across the pond there, at least to the right. Moving on to technical action, at least in the commodities. We had the CRB show signs of life last week, West Texas, as well as the XAU poised for a breakout, and gold and silver bullion at least holding up. Do you think the U.S. dollar will continue to remain tame here, and could that be good news for gold and silver?
When I still speak about metals, I kind of go to the person and go, we're in a quiet, stealth bull market. Don't tell anybody. And if you look at things like copper and zinc, and as you said, even gold and silver, because think about where Main Street was on gold and silver a year or two ago. Gold should have been under 1,000 by now. Silver was predicted to go down to single digits. And yet, despite one record after another in financial assets, a supposed better environment politically or what have you in some people's eyes, and this administration is going to solve all the problems and tax reform and all these things are coming, gold and silver has more than held its own. And, you know, it has cryptocurrencies that are grabbing some of the attention. And then we have some base metals, which have really taken off. So I think we've already begun a cyclical bull market for the metals, and we're at the tail end of the ultimate bull market in financial assets. And maybe it takes 6 to 12 months longer than some of us thought, but the shift has already begun. And when that final crack comes in the financial end, asset end, it'll only take a small amount of that sifting out into where the metals are now to really get them to explode. Right now they're under accumulation and they're working their way into higher trading ranges. But when that financial asset bubble does burst and money does flow out of it, that's when the real fun will begin in the precious metals and some of the base metals.
So can you tie that in then with the blockchain revolution? We're seeing several new assets, digital assets, that are based on gold and silver, including 1 gram, upcoming ICO, as well as several others that are becoming a little less under the radar and more mainstream as the blockchain merges with asset classes. Real hard, solid assets might boost the underlying price for investors.
The only trouble I see for cryptocurrencies, and I'm a very novice on this. I'm not a person to really speak from an authoritative standpoint. I think anything that the government perceives that criminal or hiding of assets is the main focus of it, they will continue to attack and try to expose and either end or cripple or curtail it. I think as these things mature and there's the inevitable shakeout and they become more solidified to more business reasons, I think there's a good chance to survive and prosper. What I think is extremely bullish is in the metals, we can almost just put our two fingers together and leave a little space. That's the difference, that if we can just get that much more buying in them, physical, actual buying, all these paper manipulators and all will be destroyed, because we're just that close to where the tipping point of where purchasing and desiring to own would just overpower supply. So, you know, I've seen in recent days, and again, I don't look at the metals hour to hour, a day as I once did, but I noticed recently some talk, and they've used the word peak gold. I think peak gold has a more validity than peak oil did, because what killed peak oil was new technology that found ways to get oil out of the ground that wasn't existing 10 or 20 years before. We've not seen those technology gains, and I don't think it's possible to create new ways to get gold at somewhere where we're not seeing it in the ground, so to speak. So if we can just tip the demand side just a little bit more and make it stronger, I think the metals market will really, really take off. And I was quite surprised, and I won't mention his name, but I think people may know who I'm talking about if they're hard asset people, that even one of the most notorious typical bearish commentators who for years argue in national media that there's no such thing as manipulation, even he is talking about in his group now that the metals could see in the next 3 to 5 years all-time highs, because the supply and demand scenario now is really getting into gear to where just a little more pickup in demand is really going to take the metals markets to much higher levels.
A lot of our guests, I think it's almost split, it's a dichotomy. On one side of the spectrum, we have the, you might call them supply and demanders, that you seem to fall into at least now. And then on the others, there's the more the manipulation and paper money scheme crowd. And the two are usually diametrically opposed. What I find interesting here is what looks like a more perfect world scenario setting up, where you're correct, they're correct, and all the stars might soon be aligned in our favor for the first time in what seems like half a decade. So my hope is that the blockchain helps facilitate that, undermine some of the JP Morgan-like schemes. I did want to toss in, you know, last week's CPI numbers. We hopped to 2.2% up from a 1.9%, and that's a solid move over that 2% threshold. Yes, it's not the core CPI, which the Fed watches closely, you know, sans food and energy. But we did get a over 2% reading, and they're blaming it, of course, on Hurricanes Harvey as well as Irma and maybe Jose and a few others. This indicates rising prices. That's typically good for the metals. Any thoughts?
Well, I've never been in the camp of this so-called very low inflation, because every time I look at my household bills and everything that we have to spend on, they seem to cost more than 1 or 2% a year going up. I don't know anything that my wife and I have looked at and said, wow, look at this. It's actually costing us less to do that or purchase that. So I've never been a big believer that the CPI numbers are real. But taking it on face value, there is some benefit. But I think the main driver to the future of the gold and silver market in particular is monetary and fear. And I think that people are really starting to understand that there isn't this oversupply, and the days of total manipulation in the paper market on a daily basis is behind us, because the movement of physical gold has moved out of the West, and now we're also seeing exchanges taking a lot of that more and more paper trading away from the U.S. where it was, you know, highly manipulated. So I just think the gold and silver market are just going to work their way higher, and tell me that whatever caused the stock market to finally peak and just correct, and I don't mean crash or anything of that nature. I think just that little bit is going to seep into the metals, and that's when you're going to be talking about, you know, gold and silver having, you know, several 1-3% up days in a row, and, you know, and weeks where, you know, a couple weeks later we're 5 or 10% higher than we were the week or two earlier.
And as we wrap up today, if you were to build a portfolio right now, like $100,000 in play money as a model portfolio for our listeners at various levels in life, any ideas on a solid core position?
I'll just tell you this. I think the older you are, the less risk you should be exposed to financial assets. They've had a tremendous, tremendous run for a couple of decades. There's nothing in history to suggest that it just goes on forever. Now, if you were 25 or 30, you could take a risk with that, because if we are right and it doesn't go on forever, you have an opportunity to make up for it over time. So I think that your age is more important than even what your wealth may be. I also think that it's when you get to the point of the biggest argument I know now that I heard for, as a financial advisor, is, hey, you guys always tell us when to buy, but you never tell us when to sell. I always felt that if you couldn't first buy something today, even with found money, then maybe you don't want to own it, or at least own less of it. And it's very hard for me to find any real value in general equities. One of the few places that I still think you can find value is things related to metals. But when you get outside of that, whether it's real estate or oil, things are not really, really cheap. And that's why I say cash and some physical metals is, I think, the most safest route to go, and at least for the foreseeable future.
Peter Grandage, please tell our listeners today a bit more about the information they'll find at your must bookmark website, Grandage and Company.
Sure. It's Peter Grandage, one word, G-R-A-N-D-I-C-H, petergrandage.com. There's a blog called Pete Speaks where they can just put in their email address and get whatever we post anything emailed to them, and hopefully there's an interest. We don't talk about the metals every day like we used to, but we still, you know, make mention of it and talk about general economic as well as political and social events that can impact people's finances.
Peter Grandage, thank you.
Thank you, Chris.
With stocks hitting new highs, the next sector to fly could be the precious metals. GoldSeek's top industry analyst just uncovered another solid gold opportunity, Silvercorp Metals. Silvercorp's key property is located in China, the largest gold producer in the world. Silvercorp's net income is soaring, up 589%. Production eclipsed guidance by 27.5%. totaling 6.5 million ounces. Mining operations are literally printing silver at only $3.82 per ounce. AISC net byproducts credits for the fiscal year 2017. Sales increased 51% year over year, and cash flow from operations more than doubled to $80 million. Silvercorp continues to set the industry standard with reduced costs, equity appreciation, a solid dividend, and improved free cash flow. Silvercorp is uniquely positioned to capitalize on rising silver, lead, and zinc prices. To learn more about the exceptional opportunity in Silvercorp Inc., direct your web browser to silvercorpmetals.com, ticker symbol SVM in the U.S. and Canada. Remember to treat your portfolio with a core position in Silvercorp Metals.
GoldSeek employees may or may not own shares. Nothing contained herein should be construed as investment advice.